Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So today we're going to begin, this is part four of Louisa and Divine Justice, and As we enter into this part four, you're going to see that everything is going to change. Everything's going to change. And Jesus, in his wisdom, has predestined us to be alive at this time. That's the thing that's so frightening in a way, but exhilarating. Our God has chosen that we be alive today to witness what he has planned from the beginning of time. Now, how can we say that? I mean, that's been said all over the world, you know, that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. Well, this is what he says to Louisa. It's very, very important that we understand. What he tells Louisa is, now is the time for mankind to go back to paradise. Our Lady says it differently. Our Lady, and if you haven't read Our Lady of Revelation yet, and she's in Rome. She appeared to Bruno in 1947. And think about this: 40 days after Louisa died, Our Lady descended to Earth. Okay, when Jesus, 40 days after Jesus ascended, or Jesus rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. So that 40 number is really important, and it's 40 days exactly that after Louisa died, Our Lady of Revelation came down, and she's holding a book, and she says, I'm going to explain this book. She tells Bruno one other thing that's very important for us. She says that time has now come to an end. Now, when you think about that, a lot of people begin to panic. Time is coming to an end. this is what's going to happen. Well, no, it's the time that we're living in is coming to an end. See, the devil has been in charge, and you can see this all in your family. Every family is affected by a great amount of sin. Every family is going through great struggles because of where the earth is today. And the whole reason is the devil knows his time has come to an end, and he has to destroy as much as he possibly can. So what does Jesus do? Jesus says, I'm going to give you something that will help you get through these worst of times. Because Louisa would always say to Jesus, when is this book of heaven going to be given to the people? When is it going to be given to the church? And Jesus says, in the worst of times, I'm going to give this book to the church. So the book came out in 1996. And that says to me, we have to understand that we are now in the worst of times. And then we look at our families with drugs and alcohol and promiscuity and homosexuality and the worst of the worst that's happening in every family. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you a means to get through the worst of times. Now, that's our God. He is such a loving God. He is such a caring God that he wants us to really begin to understand that he is going to help us. I was in the seminary in 1964, and I remember the priest came in, and the priest said to us, these are the, you got the world, the flesh, and the devil against you. And I go, oh my goodness, how can we fight the world, the flesh, and the devil? And he said after that very clearly, he says, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who's much more powerful than the world, the flesh, and the devil. The Father he created everything. The Son conquered the flesh, and the devil, if you want to say the Holy Spirit, is so superior to the evil one. And now Jesus says, I'm going to give you something to get through this. I'm going to give you the book of heaven. Now, when we think of the book of heaven, you know, is this another title that some human put on a book? It's no. That's what Jesus gave to Louisa on volume 19 when he was speaking to this man here, St. Honorable de Francia. He says, this is the title that I'm giving to you, that you, Father Honorable de Francia, you will be the one to give this to the world. And when he died, he never read really 20 through 36. He died focused on 1 through 19. And Louisa says, how is he going to do his job? And Jesus says, he's going to finish it in heaven. As he says, Louisa, you also are going to finish the work in heaven. So right now, because of Louisa, and as you enter, if you want to know who Louisa is, look at her titles. She has 2,200 titles that Jesus gave her. And when you read these titles, you go, he's really never said this about other saints. He's never said, you'll read some things that will be astonishing, that this man, he put the Nihili Apsta on the writings and got the imprimatur on the writings, 1 through 19. I mean, I saw, when I was in the Vatican, I saw the markings, and I know he did this. And also what's really interesting is that after he died, now he was the spiritual director of Melanie of La Salette, and you know the whole story of Our Lady of La Salette. What Jesus and Mary did was they taught him about the things of heaven with another apparition, approved apparition in the church. So when he met Louisa, he says, this is true. He knew it because he was already taught it by Melanie, taught about the things that Melanie knew about, of things of heaven. And then it was expanded. So our job, this is why Jesus chose us to be alive today. Our job is to read this, to study this, and to put this into practice. The words here, this is what I found to be very, very important. These are the six steps given to the Blessed Mother, given by the Blessed Mother to Louisa. These six steps, when you pray them, how do you live in the divine will? If you look, it's really, she's really focused on eliminating everything that is in the way. And this is why we're going to offer up to Our Lady things that are in our way, so that we can begin to live in the divine will as Louisa did. So these six steps are very, very important. And as we begin to put into practice, like when somebody says to me, well, I'm living in the divine will, and I say, well, what are the first six steps that Our Lady told Louisa to live in? And they go, well, I don't know. Then how can you be saying you're living in the divine will if you don't know this? You can't possess what you don't know. You have to know this and to love it and to really put it into practice. So today we're going to continue with Louisa and the Divine Justice. And we're on volume 19, September 7th, 1926. Jesus says, if the sun descended from its height, since the earth is much smaller and the creatures are incapable of sustaining a light so great, in descending it would ignite and eclipse everything with its light and with its heat. But since all things created by me, Jesus, contains the similarity with the bosom of mercy of their Creator, the sun remains up there, emitting its rays, full of goodness, full of love, full of goods for the little earth. That's kind of fun that we're starting out with the sun descending. This is what they saw in Fatima 100 years ago. And Jesus says, I have everything in perfect order. See, this is, we begin to understand that there is nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be fearful of, nothing to be anxious about. Why? Because Jesus is in charge. And see, our human will gets in the way. Our human will always gets in the way. And what Jesus is saying to us is, let the divine will reign. Let the divine will reign in you so that Jesus can be in charge. So Jesus says, now if the sun does this, imagine the true light of the divine sun. Much more does God. true Son of Light, true Son of Justice, true Son, S-U-N, of Love. My divine majesty does not move from the heights of its throne, but it is always firm and stable in its place, in its celestial royal palace. Now you must know, and that, there's a book over there called You Must Know. Throughout the 36 volumes, this shows you what Jesus commands us. You must know this. And this is why it's highlighted. This isn't just a term that Jesus uses. He says, no, to understand the divine will, you must know this. That the bonds of identification exist between the divine will and the human will. And therefore, why I, Jesus, so much love, so much want, by right of creation, right of paternity, right of love, and right of justice, that the human will would surrender its place to my most holy divine will, and throwing itself into the in its arms like a little child, would let itself be held, would let itself be nourished, and would let itself be dominated by God's most holy divine will. Yesterday was the feast of St. Maximian Kolbe, and he talks about this. He says, we are called by God to do the will of God, to live in the will of God. Well, he doesn't say live in the will of God. That's what God gave to Louisa. But all the saints point to this. And when you read all that the saints have said, it's to let God reign, to surrender our human will so that God's holy divine will reigns. See, we can't get, Jesus has said to Louisa, I have decided to create each human as a divine masterpiece. So each one of us, Jesus says, I want you to become a divine masterpiece. Let me, the Lord, create in you this perfection. Like he says, be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfected as much as my heavenly Father is perfect. As we grow in the knowledge and the love of Jesus and Mary, what the Lord does is he says, okay, what do you want? And everybody says, I want this and I want that and I want this and I want that. Oh, I saw this the other day and I really want. Jesus says, you can have it. When we turn back to Jesus and say, Jesus, what do you want? He says, I want you, as he says here, to be held by me. I want you to be nourished by me. I want you to be dominated by me. I want you to let me reign in you so that when your heart is beating, I am beating in your heart beating. When you're breathing, I am breathing in your breathing. When you're gazing, I am gazing in your gazing. He says the human will is complete disorder. How do we know the human will is in complete disorder? Because when we go to confession, we say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I'm sorry. I make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid these sins. Next week we come in, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I'm sorry. And I make a firm purpose of amendment not to sin again. Then we go back the following week. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is the human misery. This is where we are. And if you listen to what the saints say, listen to Louis de Montfort, what did he say? He says, God is going to bring about the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done. We are failures at being saints. We're striving for it. We want it, but we're failures. Why? Because our human will is in charge. And that's why Jesus says, I want the human will to surrender its place to me, to my most holy divine will. I want the human to throw himself into the arms of God like a little child so that God can hold the child. God can nourish the child. God can dominate the child. This is what the Lord is doing for us. And what he's asking us is, he's asking us, would you please allow me to be the Lord of your life? Not like the Protestants say, I have a personal relationship with Jesus. No, it's more than that. We have an intimate relationship with Jesus. How is that possible? Jesus says, the road to heaven is very narrow and few find it. The road to heaven is between those two candles. That's how narrow the road is. The road to heaven is through the sacraments and sacramentals of the church. There's no other way, and few find it. Let's just look at the church. You know, how many go to Sunday Mass? You know, how many in your family go to Sunday Mass? Let's just look at your own family. How many go to daily Mass in your family? This is the bread of heaven. This is the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Jesus Christ. This is the narrow road to heaven. And few have found it. So what Jesus has said to us, you that have found this narrow way, he says, I want to give you more than what I gave to the saints. I want to perfect you. I want to make of you a divine masterpiece. Now, when we go into a museum, we see what? Sculptures and paintings and etchings, and we see drawings and watercolor. Everything is different. God loves that. There are no rules and regulations for the divine will. Jesus says, read it, study it, put it into practice. So when somebody comes up to me and they say, well, how do you do it? Read it. Let Jesus tell you what to do. Let Jesus show you what he wants you to know. He wants to form in you such perfection that no one else on earth has. You can love God perfectly as no other human can love God. Why? Because of your uniqueness. What does Jesus ask of us? He says, read this. Go to your room, close the door, and read. Study. As you're reading this, Jesus is speaking to you. He says this. This is his promise to Louisa. I will be standing right beside you when you read. I will touch your mind so that you can understand this, and I will touch your heart so that you will love this. He didn't do this with the saints. The saints had to go through great sufferings, great mortifications. Many saints, what happened with many saints is they became hermits to get away from everybody, to go to a cave and pray. We go to our room and read what Jesus said to Louisa. This is not like what the saints, like I love St. Faustina. But it's not what Jesus said. The main thing Jesus said to St. Faustina was this. The final gift that I'm giving to my church before I return is divine mercy. The final gift that I'm giving to my church before I return. This is why John Paul II did what he did. He went through all the world. Why? To get the world ready. For what? The kingdom of God. Jesus coming. And who are the ones now after John Paul II? It's us. And what's Jesus saying to us? Let me hold you. Let me nourish you. Let me dominate you. Jesus says this, in creating Adam, the supreme being placed my divine will out into the field, although all of our divine attributes concurred with it as a consequence and naturally. But the supreme volition was the prime act by which it took the heart and the life of all creation, including Adam, and therefore making itself life of everything, dominating everything, making everything God's, its own. And since everything came out of the divine will by justice, Jesus says, everything was to be in God's will. Its own. So the only thing that's out of the will of God right now is us. We're the ones that are out of the will of God. How do we know this? By our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, and our sin. Jesus says, I want to free you of that. This is why if anything in your life that is bothering you, write it down and let it God free you. Now, if it's your spouse, that's a whole different story. You know, you got to be careful what you pray for. But God wants to free you to produce that divine masterpiece. Now let's go back to spouses. Say, for example, you have a spouse that does not want spirituality, especially the divine will. This is your means of perfection. Why? Because Jesus sees that the only person that can help you get to heaven is your spouse, good or bad. And so therefore, what the spouse does helps the person become perfected. God's very mysterious. What he does is so glorious and so wonderful, and he asks us to trust him. This is what he says. The miracles happen because people trusted him. You are healed, Jesus says, because of your trust, because of your faith. It's your faith that has healed you. Faith in what? What is that? Faith in Jesus Christ. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. You are my Master. You are my King. You are my God. You are my all. You are my everything. And I trust you with my family. I trust you with my wealth. I trust you with my health. I trust you with every aspect of my life. You are my Lord and my Savior, my King, my God, my all. So what do? When we know this, we go to Holy Mass. We want to receive Him. We want to be near Him. We want Him to dwell in us. What happens when that happens, we want to spend time with Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And if you can't have Jesus in your church, He's on the internet. And you can turn on any of the places where Jesus is exposed in the Blessed Sacrament, and He is with you. These are desperate times. And God is even using the communications of today to come to us. I mean, you can spend an hour with Jesus in your room if your church doesn't have it. Can you imagine? Jesus, how do you think we're going to be brought to perfection? It's by getting closer and closer to Him. Volume 19, September 13th, 1926. Now, with a gift so great, a happiness so great, so immense, a right of divine likeness with the acquisition of nobility of our offspring that had been rejected by Adam, do you think it is something easy that the divine sovereignty, without being prayed to, with no one giving a thought to receive this kingdom of the supreme fiat, would be able to give this gift to creatures? It would be like repeating the story that took place in the terrestrial Eden, and maybe even worse. And besides, our divine justice would be justly opposed to this. Therefore, everything I have you do, your continuous rounds in the supreme volition, your incessant prayers for my divine will to come to reign, your sacrificial life for so many years, knowing neither heaven nor earth, directed to the sole purpose of the coming of my kingdom, are many props that I, Jesus, have placed in my divine justice, that it may surrender its rights and balance itself all with our divine attributes, and may find it just for the kingdom of the supreme fiat to be given back to the human generations. So Jesus says, this is why you don't say, well, God knows. I don't have to pray for it. God knows. No. Jesus says, if you don't pray, I can't answer them. And if you say, when you go to confession, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, oh, I wasn't very good, may I have absolution? Have you confessed anything? You have to confess your sins. It's not, well, Jesus knows, I'm just going to go and say, I'm sorry for this, and everything else is forgiven. No. The unforgiven sin is the sins that are not confessed. See, we have time to go through our life. And if you haven't made a general confession, it's very important to make a general confession. It's to go through your life, and it takes months to do this. Go through your life from 7 to 14, well, from 1 to 7, really, because some of us were a little, really miserable when we were young. Yes, Okay, then from 7 to 14, 14 to 21. Do every 7 years. Go through your life. It's how did I treat my family? How did I treat my neighbors? How did I treat God? You know, and then you go through everything. And then you make a confession. And there's great sorrow in this. Why? This is how great God is. Guilt turns into sorrow. And a lot of times when you go to confession, you can say, I am sorry for these sins, and most especially for, and you can say a sin. And it's, yes, you've confessed it, but there's a greater sorrow there. There's a greater sadness for offending God. And there's a real freedom that God gives. And again, the sacraments, this narrow way, the sacraments are healing. And when you confess your sins, because again, a lot of times, you know, sins are, you know, the priest isn't there to listen and giggle. The priest is there to absolve. And if God has done what he's done with me, with other priests, they have a very short memory. They don't remember who said what, when, and how, and where. So this is great. So people said, remember, Father, when you said that? I don't remember anything. So you could go to confession, confess your sins, know that you can receive absolution. This is the way Jesus has done it. You don't go out into the woods and confess your sins. You can, but there's no absolution. You want to be free of your sins. When you stand before Jesus Christ, the sins that you have confessed and truly repented of are not there. They're gone. Remember with this one saint, this bishop wanted to know whether or not the saint was true or not. So he said to the mystic, ask Jesus what I did, what I confessed in my last confession. And the saint said this to Jesus, and Jesus says, I don't remember. We are freed of our sins. God wants to free us. I told you the story about the woman that I met years ago as a newly ordained priest who came in with a dead man on her shoulders and threw the dead man on the ground and said, he did this and this and this and this. And my response was, you have to forgive him. She said, never. Put the body back on her back and walked out. She was so oppressed, she was never free. See, Jesus doesn't want us to be oppressed. There's been some terrible things that have happened to all of us. And Jesus is saying, forgiveness is the way to be free. And if we don't forgive, we can't run into the arms of Jesus. Because he says, I have to treat you exactly the way you treat others. If you hate somebody, that's how you treat Jesus. And Jesus can't be near you. If you have an unforgiving heart, this is why I'm saying, go through that general confession. Go through it. Look at who you are and recognize that Jesus wants freedom for you. He wants to heal you. Again, this is the church. I thank God we're Catholic. Thank you, Jesus, that we were Catholic. He loves us so... Can you imagine? He loves us so much that he has given us the gift, the great gift of the Catholic faith. This is... and again, there'll be some. The church is going to be ripped in half. The church is going to be torn in two. You have to understand that's going to happen. But don't be part of it. Don't be part of it. Be faithful to Jesus. Be faithful to his church amid all that's going to happen. Yeah, it's God is going to go. He's going to give us the strength to get through this. God is so good. So Jesus says he's going to give back to the human generations this life of Eden. As Our Lady of Revelation said, get ready for paradise. She said, my children, Our Lady of Revelation said, my children are going to enter into eternity where they're supposed to be. We're not supposed to get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and die. We're not supposed to be food for worms. That's what our body is right now. Food for worms. God wants us to begin to live a life that is so amazing, so beautiful, that You know, if you ever get a chance to listen to near-death experiences, get a glimpse of heaven from those that have been there. Get a glimpse. I try to get the Catholic version. You know, there's some other versions that are not very fun. You know, some people went to hell. Some people, and hell exists. There's three things that the devil does. He tries to convince us that he doesn't exist. And if he can't convince us that hell doesn't exist, he goes to the third option. And the third option is there's plenty of time. And that's where we are right now. When my spiritual director turned 50, I said to him, Francesco, what are you going to do today? He goes, I prepare to die. I go, what? So when I see, what's that movie, The Prince, Princess and the Bride? I prepare to die. It reminds me, not 18 years later, he was dead. We have to be ready. You know, my brother-in-law died at 50 years old. My cousin, my nephew, my godson died about a month ago at 31. We have to be ready. We have to be ready. This is why being in the state of grace is so important for our eternity. We're either going to go to heaven or go to hell. There's no other place. Final place. And Jesus is asking us to be faithful as Catholics, faithful and obedient. So Jesus says this. He says he's going to give this back to the human generations. The same happened in redemption. If our divine justice had not found the prayers, the sighs, the tears, the penances of the patriarchs or the prophets, of all the good of the Old Testament, then Mary, the Virgin Queen, who possessed our divine will as whole and who took everything to heart with so many incessant prayers, taking upon herself the whole task of satisfaction for everyone in mankind, our divine justice would never have conceded to descend for the longed-for Redeemer into the midst of creatures. It would have been inexorable and to have uttered a curt no to my coming upon earth. And when it is about preserving the balance of our supreme being, nothing can be done. See, God is perfect order. Perfect order. And everything is balanced with God. And like, for example, we were mentioning last night, if we eat too much, God is balance. If we eat too much, just think about that. Why is two-thirds of the world starving? Why is the United States heavier than most? It's because we're not living a balanced life, you know. And I know there's a lot of stuff in the food that's not good, but what Jesus is showing us is that everything balances out. Everything balances out. So the few that go to Holy Mass, you have to remember, those few will save the many. The few that are in the divine will, Jesus says, will save those that cannot live in the divine will. So again, the balance of our supreme being, nothing can be done. Either we pray, and it's God's praying and our praying. That's why the rounds are so important. The rounds are very important for us. To pray the rounds, to learn to pray the rounds. We have the prayers of the saints. You know, we have the little blue book, you know, the Pietà book. You have the beautiful prayers, saintly prayers, good prayers, holy prayers. But the divine will, the rounds are the way Jesus prayed. The rounds are the way Mary prayed. The rounds are the way Jesus and Mary taught Louisa how to pray. That's why Our Lady says, I'm going to teach you new and powerful prayers. Now, in 2012, we went over a talk. One of the talks in 2012 was the command prayer. Now, Sunday, the Gospel of Sunday was Peter saying to Jesus, take my prayer and make it your command. Command me to walk on the water. Jesus said, come. And Peter did a divine thing. This is what the command prayer is going to show you. Jesus is going to do it in our praying. Jesus is going to pray in our praying. Mary is going to pray in our praying. As you enter into the rounds, as you begin to pray the rounds, what happens is things that you have never expected before happen. And it's not you. You've been praying for years. It's Jesus praying in your praying. It's Mary praying in your praying. So again, get to know how to pray the rounds. How do you pray? How do you learn to pray the rounds? By praying the rounds. When you pray the rounds, when you go to your room and when you pray, let Jesus and Mary speak to you. You know, one of the things somebody said to me yesterday was, can we bilocate today? And I said, well, why not? See, that's one of the gifts that Jesus gives in the divine will, to bilocate. What does that mean? That means to, when we celebrate Holy Mass today, go with Mary to heaven. Let be so docile, so little, that Our Lady can take you to heaven. Now, there will be some of those that will say, well, I can't do that. And Jesus says, absolutely, you can't do that, because you've already said no. Jesus is looking for fiat. And that's the great thing about the divine will, is let it be done as you say. When we start reading and praying in the divine will, Jesus will give you a thought, you know, like that. Do you want to bilocate to heaven tomorrow? Our response should be yes. Our response should be fiat. Whatever you want, Jesus, I want. See, the Lord wants to do amazing things with us. He wants to do more with us than with what He did with the saints. Why? Because now is the time. They did not have the Book of Heaven. Maximilian Kolbe did not have the Book of Heaven. St. Francis did not have the Book of Heaven. St. Thomas Aquinas never finished the Summa. He gets done, he gets on the third, he goes, this is mere straw. He got a glimpse of what Jesus is going to do. This is what's found in the Book of Heaven. And as you read this, as you study this, great things are going to happen. Now, who until now has ever prayed with interest, with insistence, laying down the sacrifice of his own life so that the kingdom of the supreme fiat may come upon earth and may triumph and dominate? Jesus says, no one. It is true that the Holy Church has recited the Our Father from the time I came upon earth, in which one asks, thy kingdom come, so that my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But who thinks about the requests they make? It can be said that the whole importance of such a request remain in my most holy divine will, that the creature recite it just to recite it, without understanding it, and without any interest in obtaining what they ask for. And if you look at the Dawn of a Mystery in our beloved Archbishop Piccieri, what did he say? He said, there's no one in the history of the Church that explains the fulfillment of the Our Father. He says, this is Luis's job. This is found in the Book of Heaven. As you read the Book of Heaven, you become interested in what Jesus wants. May your kingdom come on earth exactly the way it's in heaven. That's Eden. That's paradise. That's what's coming. Jesus says, it is coming. Therefore, my daughter Luisa, everything is hidden in secret while one lives on earth. And everything seems a mystery. And if anything is known, it is so limited that man has always something to say about it. All that I operate in my works through the veil of creatures. They reach the point of saying, and why have this good and these knowledges about the divine will not been given before, while there have been so many great saints? But in eternity there shall be no secrets. I shall reveal everything. I shall show all things. I will show my divine works with justice, and how justice could never have been given had there not been sufficient acts in the creatures to be able to give what the supreme majesty wants to give. So he says very clearly, in eternity there's no secrets. What's coming? See, Adam possessed all the knowledges. Adam possessed all the truths. Adam possessed all the secrets. Jesus said he had divine science. He had divine science. He knew everything. That's all coming back. What's coming back is, you know how somebody focuses on, I'm a specialist in this, or I'm a specialist in that. You know, look at the divine, savants, the idiot savants. That is genius, what they do in that narrow thing that God allows them to do. We are all going to be idiot savants in everything. We will know everything about everything. See, God gives us little hints in what we see or all around us. What's coming is going to be so magnificent. Now, he says, because there is the prayer of the rounds, because there are the people knowing how to do their acts in the divine will, everything is getting ready. It is true that everything that the creature does is my grace, but my grace itself wants to find the prop to have the dispositions and goodwill of the creature. Therefore, in order to restore the kingdom of my divine will upon earth, it takes sufficient acts of the creatures, so that my kingdom may not remain in the air, but my kingdom may descend to be formed upon the very acts of the creatures formed by her, by us, linked to Louisa, to obtain a good so great. This is what's coming. See, God is going to, just imagine the prayers of the saints. They didn't pray living in the divine will. They prayed doing the divine will. More is coming upon the earth. What God has got planned is going to astound. Everyone will be Catholic. Jesus says this in the last chapter in volume 24. He says, the universal life that Adam lost, the Catholic life that Adam lost, is coming back. Everyone will say, every Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Protestant, Jew is going to say, I want to be baptized Catholic. I want this universal life. How's this going to happen? Venerable Fulton J. Sheen said that those that pray the Holy Rosary are the heart of the church. Those that go to Holy Mass every day are the soul of the church. It's only going to take a few. And see, God's going to make everyone aware in your family that He is alive. God's going to make everything aware in your family, in your neighborhood, with your friends, with your coworkers, with your parishioners, that He is very much alive and has got everything planned. And He is going to use us to bring that about. How? By our fiat. Let it be done as you say. See, it's to let God have His way with us. So we'll end there, and we're only 3 pages behind, so we'll catch up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.